from the House of Magic Multi-Arts Gallery and Inspirational Center. It's Listen Up Ventura, brought to you by the White Rabbit Magic Shop, with your hosts, Julie, Jim, and Scott. Listen up, Ventura. Come on now, Jim.
We have to count to three.
Let's try it again.
Listen up, Ventura. Should I have done it in a higher voice so it sounded like Julie was here?
Let's try that one more time. Okay. Ready? One, two, three.
Listen up, Ventura.
Boy, Julie's not going to like your impression of her. Not going to like it one bit. This is Listen Up, Ventura. We talk about things that are going on in Ventura and also pretty much what's going on at the House of Magic. And it's apparently many incarnations.
Yes.
I am here. I am Scott Bolton. My buddy James Lantine is here.
Yes, not Bubba James. That's for another
show. Nope, Bubba James is another show entirely. Bubba James is an interesting character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, your intro is too short because I'm used to being able to put the intro on, get my earphones in, go get a cup of coffee, come back, actually a Dr. Pepper, come back, sit down, good stretch, and then the intro was over and I could do Listen Up Ventura.
It's funny you're saying that because as I was playing, I was going, darn, that went by awful fast.
Yeah, I know. I'll stretch it.
I'll figure a way to stretch it out there. We'll make it last longer.
You need a little prep time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So got to get into the mode.
So I threw you off there, right?
That's like the psych moment, you know? you put that intro on, you get yourself all psyched, and so the intro comes on and you're like, oh, it's over.
That was... you're not ready. Okay, yeah. I'll fix that. I'll make it just a little bit longer. Right now, it's 12 seconds long. That's not long enough.
12 seconds?
No, it's not 12. It's
I can last at least...
It's 1 minute...
15.
Okay. It's actually 16 seconds long. The previous one was 1 minute and 18 seconds.
There you go.
That's a big difference. Yeah, so I'll shoot for 60 seconds. We'll shoot for somewhere closer to that.
All right.
I can live
with that.
We got our banner up. We're Rough Edge Studios officially again.
Yeah. And you know, this room is really cool with just the two of us.
It really is. So it's everybody else's fault that it's hot.
There's a lot of wind that comes from everybody else.
That's true. So the room's what? Is it about 12 by 12, something like that?
12 by 12.
12 by 12. So when there's five or six people in here, it gets hot. And the refrigerator.
Yes.
It gets hot fast. But right now it's comfortable.
Do you remember the refrigerator?
Yeah.
From the 80s?
Perry. His name was something Perry, wasn't it?
Yeah, from the 80s.
William the Refrigerator Perry.
Chicago Bears.
No, I never heard of him.
No?
No. I do remember that guy.
He killed us in the Super Bowl on one of the Patriots games.
Did he?
Yeah.
I remember they called him the Refrigerator because he was about the size of a refrigerator and would just barrel through people, right?
He was a box. Yeah. It was just, yeah.
Is the guy still around? I know he's not playing, but is he still?
Oh, he's got to be dead.
I would think so.
Carrying all that stuff,
yeah.
Man? Yeah. He probably died of a heart attack
a long time ago. Big, big man.
Yes.
Amazing.
So, guess what we're doing December 7th?
December 7th, celebrating Pearl Harbor Day? That's the wrong term. Commemorating Pearl Harbor Day?
Yes, and guess how we're doing it?
How are you going to be commemorating Pearl Harbor Day?
By watching the Patriots.
Oh, so you're going to another game?
We're going to go down to San Diego for the Patriots and San Diego game.
Very nice. That'll be fun.
And we'll be sitting on the Patriots side of the field. So, hopefully with Patriots fans.
Yeah, Patriots with Patriot compatriots.
Yes, otherwise we'll be very quiet.
Yeah, I would suggest that, especially these days when people apparently can't take opposing cheerleaders with the proper style.
Yeah, good sportsmanship kind of went out the window.
Yeah, what is that about? You know, I'm not a big sports fan. So whenever I think about, I try to think about people who are sports fans, I think, okay, I love music and I like these bands. I like Motorhead better than they like, you know, Lionel Richie or what have you. But then I think to myself, I'm not going to go beat that guy up because he's got a Lionel Richie t-shirt. So I don't understand the whole concept there.
Well, somehow gangs got interested in sports. As soon as that started happening.
That's when it got nasty?
It got nasty.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess that makes... There's the train. You hear it? I'm not making it up. There was actually a train there.
I don't hear it.
Okay. So December 7th, you're going to San Diego?
December 7th, we're going to go to San Diego. We're going to stay overnight in our RV.
San Diego is very nice. I love that town.
Yes.
And I don't get to spend nearly enough time there. But we usually end up at the Gas Lamp District because it's a... Have you been to the Gas Lamp District?
Yes.
It's just pretty much a neighborhood full of bars.
Actually, I probably have not been there. I've heard of it, but I probably have not been there.
You should go, even though you're not a drinker, you should go and just check it out, because it's really unique. The bars each have their different style. They have different promotions and decorations and everything. It's really a cool little place.
Do they sell Dr. Pepper?
They do sell Dr. Pepper.
Very cool.
I think, as a matter of fact, there's like a Walmart or a CVS or something there where you could get a six-pack of Dr. Pepper.
And bring it into the bar with me?
Exactly.
Somehow I don't think that would go over.
I don't think they'd mind, as long as you were with somebody else who was drinking.
Okay.
So.
Well, I would have my wife with me.
Well, we could go with you.
Well, okay.
Yeah, I'd rather go with your wife, too.
Yeah.
Excuse this pop, but I'm going to need this soda. There. Sorry, folks.
Speaking of Dr. Pepper.
Yes, exactly.
And what soda might you be drinking?
My usual Coca-Cola Zero.
Zero, huh?
Zero, yes.
I never understood that.
It has zero calories.
Isn't that just like Diet Coke?
No, it's different. It tastes more like, but not exactly like, original Coke. The sugared one, which is really good, but if you drink too many of them, well, you turn into me, and then you also get jittery. This one is not quite as sweet, but sweeter than Diet Coke.
Okay. You got a weird little funky hairdo going on today.
It's called headphone hair. We always end up with that with a...
No, I don't have that problem.
No, well, your hair's a lot more tame than mine.
Yes.
Hold on, how's this? Is that better?
A little better.
Is it really? That's weird.
You're balding.
I'm balding? I'm bald.
Well, that's two.
Yeah.
But it looked like you were just got off a motorcycle or something like that. Your hair just, yeah.
It's headphone hair. That's
all
what
right.
happens.
No, it's bad hair day. That's what it is.
Well, that would be every day of my life.
Okay.
I come home after a show. My wife's always, oh, you got headphone hair. So she can tell the difference. So there must be something going on there.
So we got a lot of new and exciting things going on.
Yeah, I know we do. It's pretty astounding, as a matter of fact. It's a good time to be part of this.
Well, yeah, because it all benefits you.
Well, that's what I was saying. I wasn't beating around the bush. I was just being factual.
What I'm trying to figure out is, how did I wake up one morning and find out that that happened?
It wasn't the game plan initially, just the way things kind of unfolded.
Yeah, does that reflect poorly on me?
No, not at all.
Oh.
Just reflects better on me.
Oh. Well, for those who don't quite understand what we're talking about.
Which is everybody at this point.
Yes. You have just been named president of the board of directors for the House of Magic.
Absolutely true. It's an honor and a privilege.
And what is going to be your first official act?
We're going to have more Coke Zero in the refrigerator.
There you go.
Well, we're going to have a lot of fun. We got, you know, the whole goal, as it's always been, is to keep the dream, the vision of what's going on here, alive. And so we're going to follow that pathway, continue to follow that pathway, and you know, expand on it and make it bright.
So while we're tearing down debris and collecting the dust, you guys are rebuilding...
Exactly.
The dream.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
That's nice.
So it's going to be good.
Although we're done tearing down the debris and the dust.
Is it all done at the
We are all done from the old building.
Address?
We have vacated and we have handed in the keys.
So all shows and everything's going to be over here now at the new place.
That's what I would assume.
Yeah. Oh, that's...
But, you know, I woke up this morning at home and I went, what do I do? I'm not president anymore. I got no keys to the old building. I can't destroy anything anymore.
I'm sure I can find something for you to destroy.
Well, I'm going to still volunteer.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same if you weren't, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you guys were nice enough, because you know that I like the center of attention, to still stay focused on the being the center of attention as far as the shows are concerned.
Well, that's Julie told us. She said, you know, you have to make sure that at least you get Jim enough attention. Nothing else matters. As long as he gets that attention, he'll be happy. And happy husband makes happy wife. That's not how it goes, I know.
In our house, that's how it goes.
Is that true?
So, yeah, yeah.
Where's Julie, by the way?
She has been hacking up a lung for the last week.
That poor thing has been sick a lot in the past few weeks.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was all the mold from the old place. But
I think you may be right.
Well, you know, from moving everything and stirring up all that dust and everything else over there, you know, Lord knows what's in the air.
Yeah, that's got a lot to do with it, I'm sure. So, I hope she's feeling better.
Wait a minute. She wasn't there during any of the demolitions.
You know why? Because she
I'm
was
the
too
one.
That was it. I'm too sick to work. I'm sorry. You'll have to do without me.
Yeah, but I'm the one who should be hacking up along.
She thought of it first.
She did. She beat me to it. Although I did think of the breaking of the elbow so that I couldn't do any of the work.
Well, that's true.
That was genius.
That was genius and also pretty gutsy.
Yeah, well.
I mean, if you're going to shatter your elbow in order to get out of work, that takes some guts.
You know, you do what you got to do.
Yeah, you did it well.
I saw into the future, and I said, hell no.
How is the elbow doing? Is it, you know, see, notice whenever I mention your elbow, I have to rub mine because I think, God, that must have hurt.
I feel like some of the pins have, like, come out. But
because it hurts or something, or you don't feel them, do you?
Putting any pressure on the table or anything like that, I can really feel it. But I was being really careful over the last several weeks as we were trying to move things out,
where
I was just kind of supervising. But when we got to the weekend, it became crunch time, and so I got myself dirty. And so I can really feel it in the elbow and everything stiff and. Uh-huh. Although there was one moment I picked up something really heavy, because I can hold things, I just can't pull on it or push it. And so I picked up something that was kind of heavy, and so long as I keep my right arm straight, I'm okay. But it was so heavy, it ended up hyperextending my arm, and I went, wow, I can stretch it. I'm just going to like hold this thing for, 60 seconds, set it down, pick it back up, and it'll give me that good workout.
That's interesting.
Stretch it out.
Yeah, it's like a little physical therapy for you there.
He told me that I need to push it to get the hyperextension back.
And you're probably being gentle with it because you don't want to hurt it, whatever. And then when you took that lifted that big heavy thing, it was without even thinking it, right?
Well, no, you're really stiff. So it takes that extra weight to stretch
to push it out.
To push it. Yeah, because no matter how hard I try, I can't hyperextend. But put that weight in there.
And it did the trick.
It did it.
Well, so we need to get you lifting some more stuff then.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can work something out.
And my left arm is looking pretty buff.
Now, you're a magician, so you probably use both arms pretty simultaneously,
cards,
right?
Cards don't weigh a lot, so you don't really get a good workout from that.
Well, I saw a Penn & Teller trick one time where they used cards they had to lift with a forklift.
Really?
Yeah. It was the world's biggest card trick. They had cards.
I didn't see that.
It was.
Yeah.
But you're not using those. But I'm not talking about the lifting of them, but the dexterity, you know. That's still, I mean, there's a lot.
Oh, yeah. I can pretty much function with either hand pretty well. So, like, everything I was doing when we'd throw it into the dumpster, I had to throw with my left, and I'd hold it steady with my right. So I can do that pretty easily. If I need to navigate with a mouse or something with the left hand, I can do it left or right.
Oh, that's good.
So
that's something I can't do. I'm a right-handed mouse guy. I can't try to switch the mouse, forget it.
Oh,
I'm lost.
Yeah, I don't have what's confusing is I was already confused as to whether or not I do card tricks right-handed or left-handed, which I do them left-handed, but coin tricks I do right-handed. And when I got hurt and I couldn't use my right hand to do certain fine motor skills, I was using my left hand, but then I couldn't remember, well, do I normally use my left hand? Or am I only using my left hand now because I can't use my right hand? It got really confusing.
And it's probably the kind of thing that if you're talking about, if you're thinking too much about, then it's you're not doing it by muscle memory anyway.
Yeah.
Which is what you want to do. You want to do it by muscle memory. You don't want to do it by thinking about it. So by thinking about it, it probably made it even tougher.
Yeah, there's a special move called the Elmsley count.
Okay.
And it's a special move as you count the cards. And you hold the cards in one hand and you with your full hand, with your fingers, and then your other hand grabs the card full palm. So it's like going fully into your hand.
Okay.
I couldn't remember if it's my right hand that I do the full palm or if it's my left hand. And if I hold it with my right hand on the fingertips, it was just really frustrating because I'm going, how do I normally stop thinking about it? Stop thinking about it. Do it. No, you're thinking about it.
That's exactly it. And you probably, I don't know if you ever figured it out again, but if you didn't, it's just going to happen. And then you'll go, that's how I did it. It's just
Yeah.
It's, when you're thinking about stuff, it's much more difficult to do.
Yeah.
Because you're following steps that may not even be there. Well, I should do this next, but you don't do that next. You've got it all figured out.
And that's what really we're doing. The magic lessons really helps because you got to sit there and explain it to the student. And you break it down, and then you start to realize, I don't really know how I do it. It's just like, I do it. And so you got to kind of stop yourself and watch the motions you're going through. And there's been times where I'll go through and I'll demonstrate the trick and I'll teach them how to do it. And I'll go, oh, no, wait. Add this step to it. That's right, because I usually do this.
Yeah.
You know, so... So anyways, you know, enough about me. So you're going to be the president next year.
Yes, I am.
And so for 2015, and we got a new home.
Yes, we do. Very excited about it. I think that everybody here is excited about it. I was talking to Nelson about it this weekend. Nelson right next door to the studio here now, which is great. He's a great guy, and I'm amazed by his talent. Yeah. I'm just amazed by what that guy can do. And people think I'm blowing smoke. I'm not. It's really just amazing. But I was talking to him about the same thing I talked to you guys about before. There's more of a sense of the community here. We're all closer together. We all bumping elbows all the time now. Before, it was all kind of spaced out in this giant monstrous warehouse. I mean, where the studio was located before, I don't think anybody knew whether we were there or not.
Right. Yeah, we never did.
Yeah. But now, everybody knows we're here. We got our sign out in the main hallway when the show is on that says on air. And we greet people when we come in and out. And it's just closer. And I believe more along the lines of what the plan was from the beginning, was to make it a community within and to open to the community without.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, one of the things when Julie and I first announced that we were going to shut down the House of Magic, I mean, it was really hard because we knew when we shut that down, we were also shutting the dream down for a lot of other people, not just us.
Right.
And so when you and a couple of the other people were running with us had said, you know, Jim, we all want to get together and we want to find another place and keep this thing going, and we'd like you guys to come with us, that kind of helped keep us alive, you know? It gave us something to look forward to versus just tearing down the dream. And so I was grateful you guys pushed that through.
It wouldn't be the same if you guys weren't here, you know, weren't part of this, so in some little small part. But we're glad to have you here. So
and I get to still do my magic, which makes me happy.
But you know, the show's over at 5:30 and then doors are locked, so
yeah.
Okay,
I I was kind of wondering why I never got a key.
Let's change the subject there. How is the you got a little what do you call the room in there? The magic room where the
close up room?
Close up room, yes.
Yes.
I love the close up room. It's really nice. And I know there are plans for it beyond that, but I just love the fact that you're able to do that and that there's a place for magic right there.
Nelson, you know, you talk about Nelson's talent. We're talking about taking the close-up room because he wants to design the building. It's kind of hard to describe, isn't it? I mean, it's not hard, but it's kind of broken up into two units.
Yes,
it is. There's like a left side and a right side.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and so on the right side where we are, we have the close-up room, and you have a lot of those mini classrooms, so the music, the studio, and Nelson and everything. And then on the left side, you have the larger
auditorium.
Dance mm-hmm. and auditorium and the martial arts. So it's kind of like you got your left and your right. And so Nelson is talking about designing the right side like you're in an old Victorian mansion. And the left side in the lobby area, he wants to design it like you're outside the mansion. And then the theater will take on that same kind of look of, you know, being in the Great Hall or something to that effect. But you listen to him and he describes what he's going to do and how he's going to put it all together. And for me, it's like, man, that sounds old and grungy and
does it?
You know, and I'm sitting there going, I want new. I want, you know, sharp edges. And so I have a really hard time visioning it. And he talks about using all this cheap stuff. Oh, no. We can do this for this amount. We can do this for that amount. And I'm thinking, well, why don't we just buy it new? And then he puts it all together and you're going, this looks really cool.
Exactly. That's one of his many fortes.
Yeah.
He's got this mind and this imagination and the ability to share it with you, but at the same time, you don't see it the way he does.
No.
And then when it's done, like, you're like, wow, yeah. look at that. You know, it's just he's just amazing. So yeah, he's going to do amazing stuff here for us.
So it's going to be cool. I keep telling him, I said, you know, Nelson, for the close up room, could you put like a secret door?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Whether it's on the outside, maybe it's a painting, and on the inside it's a bookcase or something, but it's a secret door.
Yeah.
You know? So it fits with both models.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. So I'm anxious to see what he does.
Yeah. Could trust him completely. I have complete faith in him.
You know, you'll never quite be the president that I was, though, right?
No, I know. And some people have already thanked me for that. all right, let's play a quick song, and we'll come back here shortly. This is Joshua Lantine. This is a song I was trying to find. This is when he came in. We need to get him and do this again, when he came in to listen up Ventura in the very early days and played that classical guitar piece.
Oh, nice.
So I thought we'd play that here for
you. All righty.
And we'll be back right after this on Listen Up Ventura, Rough Edge FM. Thank you. Joshua Landine on guitar there, playing a nice classical piece, the name of which, unfortunately, I don't know. We'll have to ask Joshua what piece that was.
You know, even if he tells us, we're still not going to know or remember.
No, we'll write it down somewhere. It should be, instead of saying Joshua Landine, classical guitar, it should say the name of the piece and then, you know, something there.
Yeah.
So it should. So I'll ask him next time I run into
the
him.
The dilemma is that you have to be able to pronounce that name.
You've listened to our shows before, right? How much attention do we pay to pronunciation?
Yeah, see, you don't even pronounce that correctly.
I knew you were going to catch that. Yep. So, I do that a lot.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was great stuff from John. And we got to get him back in here and have him do that again.
Yeah, he's, you know, it's amazing because the kid is just constantly improving. You know, it's just...
Well, this has been, 6 months since he did this? So I'm anxious to hear what he's got now.
Now he can play London Bridges Falling Down.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's really advanced.
Is it the shred version or something?
I don't know. He's practicing right now with a violinist. They're going to be doing a duet. Do you call that a duet?
I would, but I don't know any better, so...
Yeah. So, and hopefully... I don't know if I, because we haven't like fully crossed over. You know how the president has the discovery team and when he takes over in January and all? Well, we haven't really assembled that yet.
Not yet.
But Joshua is planning on doing a recital here.
I think that would be great.
So, I believe he wanted to do it in December.
December 7th.
That would be awesome.
So who are you rooting for when that game again?
San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow, I don't think so.
Julie's rooting for the Patriots. I'm rooting for San Diego.
I would love for you guys to go to that game, each wearing different jerseys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be safer.
You know what I'll do is I'll put on the Broncos jersey.
Yeah. Just to really screw things up.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, my mom's favorite team is the Raiders, and it always has been because it was my dad's favorite team. And
she does know the record, doesn't she?
She's at the point now, she's like, I think I need to find another team. So she may be going. She may, and I know that your team's New England, but she may be going San Diego for her favorite team here very soon.
She should, because.
Yeah,
that's a lonely place to be.
It was okay when the Raiders, at one point, the Raiders were selling more merchandise than any other football team, which is amazing because they had that attitude.
They were the bad boys.
The bad boys, yeah. That's not even the case anymore. Now I think the Cowboys outsell them or whatever. So not only are they not selling as much merchandise, but their team is at 0-9 now or something like that?
Well, I understand why they're so bad. Not bad at playing, but bad boys.
Oh, bad attitude.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you were 0-8, you'd have a pretty sucky attitude, too, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
You'd be going around angry.
Kind of hard to climb out of that one with a smile. You'd it's only 0-8, no big deal.
Yeah, you'd be angry.
I would, yeah.
So.
I would be.
You know, you'd go after one of the football guys, and if he tackled you or sacked your quarterback, you'd pound the crap out
you'd
of him.
You'd want to, yeah. Just because you were in a bad place.
Yeah.
And it could be better the next week if you won, but it's not going to get better for them.
No.
Do you think they're going to win a game all season?
You know, the Patriots did their full, 16-0? Somebody needs to be on the other side.
Well, I think we have a candidate.
Because you only remember the first place winner or the last place.
True.
So they would go down and they would be remembered.
That's true.
So
some things you don't want to be remembered for, though.
But, you know, bad publicity is as good as good publicity.
That's what
they
say.
It's even better, I guess.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Just ask Kim Kardashian.
What's up with her? I heard that there was something floating around the...
She did a photo shoot for a magazine called Paper Magazine in the UK, I think it is. And there's not a stitch of clothing on her. And in most of the photos. And it's just...
Paper magazine?
That was what TMZ said last night. That was pretty funny. They said, one, what was she thinking? And two, what's paper magazine?
Yeah.
Nobody had ever heard of paper magazine until the whole world heard of it yesterday.
Yeah, it's amazing. But you go from being not having a clue as to who they are to now everybody
knows who they are. But I just, I myself am kind of freaked out about the whole thing because if that's where we are as society today, that's what it takes to get to what they want to do, break the internet because everybody has to see that photo, there's something needs fixing.
Yeah, but you or I couldn't do that.
No, I did once, but it didn't break the internet.
Well, it might have shut it down, you know, in the sense that...
You know what? We're going to do a photo shoot of me in the same poses as Kim.
No, better yet, let's just superimpose your face on her body.
That would be the same thing.
Yeah.
But
it would be?
It wouldn't be. Oh, no.
Oh, I was going to say...
That would be a little disturbing, as a matter of fact.
She's like gone downhill, if that's the case.
No. So. I said that would be a little disturbing. It would be worse putting... Never mind. I had a whole different visual. Hey, you know what we probably should do right now?
What's that?
We should probably do the one thing that I have not redone yet.
I thought we were doing this all along.
And hold on to your seats, ladies and
That's
gentlemen.
That's true, too.
It is now time for Tony's Comedy Corner, hosted by Delicious.
The only part of that introduction that's true is that it's Comedy Corner. Everything else is completely false.
And Delicious is... Well, yeah, but he's
not hosting it. Yeah. So, how is Delicious? Have you heard anything from him?
I haven't heard anything from him.
No?
No, it's been a while.
Okay. Just curious. Who's that guy?
Ready?
I'm ready.
These are musician jokes in honor of Joshua.
Very nice.
All right. A young child says to his mother, "Mom, when I grow up, I'd like to be a musician." She replies, "Well, honey, you know you can't do both."
Okay.
That one takes a second.
Yeah, it did. It took a second.
Okay. What's the difference between a banjo and an onion?
What is the difference?
Nobody cries when you chop up a banjo. What's the similarity between a drummer and a philosopher?
I don't know.
They both perceive time as an abstract concept.
Very good.
What's the largest crime wave in New York City?
I don't know.
Drive-by trombone solos.
They can't all be good ones.
Yeah, I know. What's the definition of pitch perfect?
What is the definition of pitch perfect?
When you toss a banjo in the garbage and it hits an accordion.
That's a good one.
Somebody doesn't like a banjo.
I would have interjected to bagpipe myself, but that's okay.
And finally, how does a violinist's brain cell die?
How?
Alone.
All right. Is that all we got?
That's it.
Well, those are pretty good. They're almost too good for... You got more?
You want to encore?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. What's the difference between a saxophone and a chainsaw?
Saxophone and a chainsaw. I don't know.
You can tune a chainsaw.
Okay. Those are all for you, Joshua. Enjoy those. Don't use them with your friends. You'll be sorry later.
Yeah. I didn't get a guitarist one in there.
That's because guitarists are cool.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, there is one.
How do you get a guitarist to play softer?
I don't know.
Place a sheet of music in front of him.
You know,
all right, that was for Joshua.
I've told you, especially last time that when Joshua actually played here, that if I had to choose one regret in life, it would be that I never learned to play guitar. I love the guitar. I own 5 guitars at home, believe it or not. And I would love to play, but I just never spent the time to actually sit there and learn it and to do all that. And I kind of blame the guy who my parents paid for lessons for me for when I was a kid. Because I was this kid who was into bad rock and roll. I listened to Kiss, listened to Foreigner, all those bands. Stuff that's really easy to play. And this guy was teaching me guitar music theory. He wanted me to finger pick like Leo Kottke and all this really difficult stuff. And I just wanted to play, "I'm gonna rock and roll all night." But he wouldn't teach me that.
That's because he knew you'd kill it.
Yeah, that may... Well, I was going to play it. I wasn't going to actually sing it.
Well, good, because that was really disturbing.
You know what? I'm going to auto-tune that, and you're going to be impressed.
I'm like... I got nightmares going on right now. I'm afraid to go to sleep at night.
I have never been in a band or...
There's a good reason for that.
I was going to say I had never sung live, but I have. I had done a couple of karaoke things. Cleared the house out, too. Not that bad. I did lose a bet on a cruise ship. And Doug's wife got to choose which song I sang in karaoke for punishment.
Uh-huh.
So they chose Do You Really Want to Hurt Me by Boy George. And as I was singing the song, there were these girls in the front row who were going, yeah, we really want to hurt you. Well, thanks, ladies. Thanks very much for that. That's a true story.
Wow.
We were at the bar, and Doug and I ordered shots of tequila, and this guy poured us these huge shots of tequila, and he set them down next to Doug's wife, Michelle. And I said, if you drink that down in one swallow, I'll jump off the balcony to the next floor. She goes, push, splashed it down. I looked over the edge and I went, yeah, if I jump, I'm going to break a leg, so pick something else. That's how I wound up doing
the
karaoke on the cruise ship.
If so. I were you, I would have jumped.
I probably should have. The only good thing about it was before the days when they had video on cell phones. So I'm safe from that being released anywhere to the public.
Well, we need to reenact that so that we can play it on the radio.
Didn't we just do that?
You know what we can do? You sing it live right now on the radio, and then you attend a vocal lesson, and you come back and you sing it again, except we'll auto-tune it.
There you go. We'll bring somebody who can really sing it and pretend it's me.
Yeah.
It's radio. Nobody knows.
That's true.
See?
But you gotta get video in here.
We're talking about it. We've been talking about it since we were at Market Street 7 years ago. So Doug keeps promising to bring... All we need is one... camera, and we can broadcast live on YouTube now, you know, but we're lazy.
I understand.
So one of these days, though, we will.
So what's in store for us this year or this coming year?
All kinds of stuff.
Is it like a secret?
Well, it's just not, it's too early to say.
Okay.
Some exciting stuff, though.
But we're going to open up with a bang.
Well, we got to plan the grand opening.
Yes.
So we got to get to work on that.
Oh, and speaking of that, I actually have some magic castle magicians who have volunteered to come down and perform for us if we'd like.
Now, because you're a member of the Magic Castle, right? You've been to the Magic Castle, right?
Yes. No, you know, I have never joined yet, although I promised myself Once we got through this whole thing and we got the place shut down, that I was going to take the time and I was going to join so I could do something for myself.
You really should.
And I'm going to do that in 2015.
You really should.
I
really want you to do that. I had the opportunity to see you do some of your close-up magic at Brad and Heidi's party that night, the barbecue they had. And it was amazing.
Have you ever been to the castle?
I have. Yes.
Oh, these guys operate at a completely different level than I do.
You know what? You say that, and I understand that, but I'll tell you, when I was there, it was many, many years ago, and I couldn't even tell you the year, but it was 1990s maybe when I was there last. And we were invited for a press conference when I was writing for the paper, writing movie reviews. They had some movie they were promoting, and the magic show was part of what they did at the Magic Castle that night for the movie. And it was great and entertaining and what have you, but it was... It wasn't any more spectacular than what I saw you do that night. And that's the truth.
Wow.
That's the truth. We saw two magicians in a small room, and we had the wait time in the room with the piano, with the ghost.
Yes.
That's still there?
Yes.
And my friend John told me that, John Larson, he said, if you request any song in the world, that piano will play it.
Yes.
And so he was trying to prove it to me because he was... You know, he was going to full trigger it. Well, he said, can you play the theme from Jaws? Now, it's two and a half notes, basically, right? And the piano instead played By the Sea, By the Sea, By the Beautiful Sea. Well, I thought that was actually funnier than playing the theme from Jaws. But, yeah, that's how long it's been. It's been a long time since I've been at the Magic Castle. But it was really nice. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I have a philosophy when it comes to magic. The one thing that's different about the castle is those people who perform at the castle are most likely performing for other magicians.
Okay.
So their skill level and their techniques are like flawless because they got to try to fool another magician.
Right.
And many of them can. They really can. But the problem with that is you get these magicians who are sitting out in the audience and they're going, oh, I saw how he did that. And then they also feel like they need to help school you. So they, after the show, will come and say, oh, that was really good. Hey, you know that one thing that you did over there? Yeah, I would probably do it this way. And it's like, you know what, buddy? I'm the one at the table, not you.
This is my act, not yours.
And, you know, I it drives me nuts, these magicians that feel compelled that they have to, educate you. And it's like, you know, I'll perform, and occasionally you run into where you'll have a magician in the audience, and they'll come up and they'll go, well, why did you do that instead of this? And it's like, because I'm entertaining an audience.
My way.
Not entertaining you.
Right.
I'm entertaining an audience. And so for me, the whole point of magic is not to try to fool another magician. Why bother? They know most of the stuff.
Right.
The point of my magic is to entertain a layperson who doesn't understand a clue about magic, but is there to simply enjoy the entertainment value of it. And so when I perform the techniques and things, if I need to go from point A to point B, does it really matter how I got to point B? You know, you'll have magicians who will sit there and go, well, you know, instead of doing this double, salami, you should have done the triple threat. And it's like, no, you know what? If they know that I was doing something between point A and point B, then I didn't do the trick right.
Right.
So all that matters is that I get to point B. Doesn't matter how I got there. For you, it might, because you know the effect and you know all the different techniques. But for them, they don't care. And if they do, I screwed up.
Yeah, I like that. So, I like that train of thought. I agree with you completely.
Yeah.
Because I'm one of those people, I am amazed by magic tricks. I love to watch them, and I never want to know how they're done. Some of them bother me. I start thinking, how do they do that? But I don't want to learn the secret. I want to just enjoy the fact that this illusion is being performed on me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because there are some coin tricks that you can do through sleight of hand, or you can buy the gimmick. So you can spend hours and hours and hours and hours in practice, which, you know, I admire people who are that dedicated to their craft.
Mm-hmm.
But you can spend hours and hours and hours of practice to learn how to do it by sleight of hand, or you can buy the coin trick and do it in about 30 minutes.
And the effect looks the same?
It's exactly the same outcome. And if they see you doing it with a trick coin, they're like, oh, you're not really a close-up magician. And it's like, well, no, I'm an entertainer.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, look, you spent 30 hours trying to, you know, develop your craft and doing that one coin trick. I spent 30 minutes, so now I'm out there making money while you're still practicing it.
And if you stood side by side, nobody would tell the difference.
No.
Well, no layperson would be able to tell the difference.
Exactly.
Right.
Because they don't know what happens in between. They just know that this is where it started and this is where we ended.
Right. That's all they care about.
Right.
Or that's what they all should care about. Penn Jillette had said one time that he thinks that a good description of magicians is somebody who spends an incredible amount of time trying to learn a trick or something that takes just a few seconds to perform.
Right.
And that's kind of what you just said. It's kind of like if you're going to do it, you got to do it so many times and so often that it becomes, again, the muscle memory kind of thing. But if there's a gimmick to do it quicker and it looks exactly the same, what's the point?
Yeah, I would rather spend the time on the entertainment value than on the technique.
Yeah.
So long as it fools the audience and the entertainment value is a home run, that's what matters.
Right.
Not the technique.
Yeah, because you can have the best technique in the world, but if you're not entertaining, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if you can make a bus vanish, you know, with people in it waving or something, and you're boring. You're still boring.
Well, you know, it's funny because if you watch YouTube lately, there's a lot of these people that do all these fancy card flourishes. I mean, like really incredible stuff. And you watch it and you go, wow, that's like incredible. But what it reminds me of is the kung fu artist who gets out there with the swords and does all this fancy, spinning and triple and flipping and doing all this. And then the guy pulls out the gun and shoots him.
All that years of learning that for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So here's this guy doing all these fancy card flourishes. And then by the time he's done, I've already done the trick. And you haven't even started yet.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
That's true.
But and when you do those card flourishes, all it says is, look at how well I can manipulate cards.
It's pretty to look at, though.
Yeah, it is.
It is pretty to look at. But pretty soon it's the same thing over and over again.
Well, when you watch that, you go, wow, that's incredible. And then they do a card trick, and you're like, screw that. Let me see the flourishes. That was really cool.
Do the flourish again. Yeah. Don't some of them use that flourish as a distraction, though? That's part of the game, right?
No, it's just pretty.
Just to show off.
Yeah, it's just pretty.
Really?
Yeah.
So what do they use to distract? Don't tell me. I don't want to know. Don't tell me. You look like you want to tell me.
Not really.
Okay, good. I don't want to know. Yeah, I love that
pretty
stuff.
Pretty women. That's what I use.
Well, that's... That always works, right?
Yeah.
My wife was kind of angry with me because I know that you had a issue with the teller from Penn and Teller, but I've loved Penn and Teller for a long time and pay way too much attention, as my wife will tell you, to Penn Jillette. He's got a podcast I listen to every week without fail, and I had a point to this, but I've been watching. They had a couple of shows on television. One of which was called Wizard Wars.
Yes, I've seen that.
And the other one was Fool Us.
I've seen that.
Okay, so which of those, if any, did you like? Did you like either one of those shows?
I actually didn't mind either one, but I think the Fool Us was probably the one that I enjoyed the most.
I like Fool Us better myself. I think it's great when you're a magician who maybe most people don't know. You go up on stage in front of Penn and Teller, who everybody knows, and if you can trick them with your routine... That's got to feel great.
Yeah.
Doesn't that? It's just got to feel wonderful to go, I tricked Penn and Teller. Not many people do, because they've been around for so long and, you know, they have such a sub-community around them.
Oh, yeah.
Them and David Copperfield. I mean, the fact that they're both up there in Vegas, it's kind of like the magic capital of the world now, I guess.
Yeah.
But the other show, Wizard Wars, is kind of what you were talking about earlier. That's one of the things that kind of bothers me about that show, because they'll have people setting up a routine on the fly, basically. And then I would have done this. I would have done that. It's like, well, I kind of liked what he did. It was right. Good, you know, but because they're the magicians watching the magicians, it kind of ties into what you say there.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that because you're there and that's what you expect.
Okay, but that's
when
true.
You're performing and somebody just comes up and feels compelled that they have to offer their opinion on how you did that, it's like, you know, it's one thing if I'm sitting in if I'm going to perform and I know there's a magician in the audience and I go up to the magician and I say, hey, would you do me a favor? This one routine that I'm working on, would you kind of just help critique it
You're
afterwards?
And let,
yeah.
Right.
There's the magician that gave me the magic shop.
Mm-hmm.
He's been to a couple of my shows. And... he came up after one of the shows, this linking ring routine that I've been doing since I was probably 15 years old. He came up to me and he said, hey, do you mind if I offer you a little suggestion on the linking ring routine? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And he said, you know, when you go to do the second link, you just drop the ring and it's linked. People don't really realize that something just happened. It's kind of like, you know, they miss the whole point. You should do something a little bit more dramatic to kind of
show the two rings are
emphasize
separate and then
the point that you've linked it. And I went, oh man, I've been doing that thing for so long. I just never even thought about that. But now that you point that out, I see that. And so I've done it a little different now. That was okay because he saw something and he wanted to offer his opinion. And if I would have said, yeah, I'm really happy with the way I would have done it, he would have been like, oh, nope, it was great. It was good. You know, no problem.
Yeah.
But
and plus, you knew him. I mean, you guys have a relationship and what have you. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not a relationship.
I've done, well, you kind of do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. There's been times where I've done shows and people come in and they'll come up to you and like, oh, I'm a magician too. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah, they'll walk up to you and they'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, I do this trick and I do that trick. And I'm like, great. Yeah. You know, do you want to come up and do the show? I mean, is that what you're asking me?
Yeah. Do you want to come be my assistant tonight?
It's like your point.
Do you think that's a uniquely magician kind of thing? Because I can't imagine going to a rock and roll show and having somebody at the band, you know, why did you play that lead? I would have played the lead a little bit different, maybe a little sharper. I can't imagine that. That's why I'm wondering.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of it is that, unfortunately, it is a trade or a craft that there are a lot of people in it that suck.
Like probably most crafts, but yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, there anyone can pick up a trick and call themselves a magician. And there's a lot of bad ones out there. There are a handful of absolutely phenomenal magicians. I mean, people that spend hours and hours and now blow me away. You know, they just spend hours in developing their trade, and I mean, those people are like, those are magicians.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even necessarily really even call myself a magician per se. I call myself an entertainer because I spend more time on the entertainment aspect of it than I do the actual magic. And so when I watch some of these magicians that spend hours a day practicing and the stuff that they do that they're capable of doing, I sit there and go, ooh, wow. You know, amen, brother. I mean, that's
impressive.
Yeah. But then I go and watch some of these local clubs and some of these other magicians get up and they do, you know, Professor's Nightmare, which I've seen a gazillion times, and they do it the same way everybody else does it, because they take it out of a box, they open up the instructions, and they read how, you know, the pattern is do A, B, and C, and that's exactly what they do. And it's like, it just, you know, they don't put any heart and soul into
the originality or something. Yeah. Make it their own. Just, that's what you got to do, is make it your own, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, they're just like, you know, everybody else. And so the people that really pour their heart into it, and those are the magicians.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a lot of insecurity, because a lot of these people don't realize that they necessarily suck.
Yep.
You know? I had this one. Do we have time, by the way? Am I talking too much?
No, we're just okay. Good. This is all good. Right. I'm enjoying this.
All right. So I had this one magician when we were back east who he claimed to have this really big show that he used to do, and he had all these major illusions and, you know, sign in half and vanishing boxes and all this kind of stuff. And so he convinced me when I was 18 years old to quit my job at the bank, which I had a pretty good job at, and they were paying for my school for accounting and everything. And so he convinced me to quit. And so I started doing the magic full time, and he got me into this thing called Amway, which tells you his personality.
Yeah, and I'm thinking where his mindset was from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that went like south in a matter of a couple of weeks. So then he tells me that he works for this drilling company, and he would get me a job as a salesman, which I did not belong in trying to sell wells, you know?
I can see that, actually, yes.
So within
that's a wise choice there.
Yeah. Within 2 weeks, he laid me off from that. Well, come to find out, he got laid off too, and so he's pumping gas. So he comes up to me and he's like, hey, Jim, I got a buddy who wants to buy the guillotine and a couple other props. And I'm like, oh, okay. He said, I'll just act as the go-between. And so he said, you know, what do you want for it? And I told him. And so he gave me the cash and he took the props. And about 2 weeks later, I see this poster that he had printed up of a picture that he had, which was really poorly done. But my guillotine's in it.
And he was doing the show?
And it was for him.
Oh.
But, you know, he can't, he had to be, oh, no, I got all these amazing props. You know, I don't need your junk. I drew, oh. And all of a sudden, it's like the guillotine's in this photo.
Right, he's used that.
So I invite this guy down to a magic club meeting. And now he's pumping gas at this point. And he's going around and he's talking to people. And he's like, yes, my name is Jim Landini. Because, you know, Houdini and,
you know, I get it, yep.
One of those wannabes.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, you know, we just finished a tour in Germany, and we're going to be packing up now pretty soon here. We're going to be doing a tour down the East Coast, and then from there we're going to be flying to France, and we're going to be doing kind of like a mini world tour. And, you know, I've got all these animals and these illusions, and I'm listening to him. I'm going, just got back from Germany. You had me selling wells 2 weeks ago. And prior to that, you had me trying to get into
Amway.
This thing called Amway. when were you in Germany? Because, you know, the way he was telling them is that he just got back.
Yeah, he'd been on tour this whole time, just got back from his tour.
And let's not forget about the cruises that, you know, I worked on. And taking a break from that, though, because, you know, the cruises, you're just on the ship for a month and you don't really ever see any land. And so, so I'm listening to this. I'm going, who is this guy? And then people are coming up to me and they're like, oh,
that guy was so great.
He's a magician. He must be famous. He's got all these incredible illusions. I'm like, he ripped off my guillotine. And then I went and I looked at some of his boxes. He finally took me to where, and they were all handmade, crappy looking props. I mean, like handmade junk, you know? I'm going, do these things even work? And so he's sitting there telling all these stories, and I'm going, oh, this is, like, out of control. And I'm talking to these other magicians, and they're, like, all fondling over him because it's like, oh, my gosh, this guy's amazing.
Well, because he's got him
I'm like,
by
he's
the,
full
the,
of crap.
Kool-Aid, yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't want to hear that it was full of crap. And I'm just like, and so they're all a bunch of little puppy dogs going, you know?
Yeah, because he's living the dream they want to live.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not. He's just a... He's a con man.
And there are so many of these people. When you go to these magic clubs, you'll hear people being like, I get $1,500 for a show. And then you find out that somebody calls up and is like, hey, I got a birthday party, $25. Okay.
Yeah. They'll take it.
You know?
Uh-huh.
It's just there's too much of that in that industry. And that the one reason why I would consider joining the Magic Castle is because it is like the performers there are incredible. There are a lot of wannabes that are members there, and there are a lot of those, you know, magicians that walk around and go, well, you know, we're but the people that actually are allowed to perform there, I mean, you're not performing there if you're a wannabe. You're performing there because you are.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so the quality of the entertainment is phenomenal. That would be why I go. I wouldn't go down to be able to socialize with a bunch of these other guys who are in the audience like me, who go, well, yeah, you know, I perform at the Magic Castle. And what I found out is that there's a room downstairs where you can perform if you're a member. But you're not invited to perform there. You're not paid to perform there.
No advertising in the show, I'm sure. Yeah.
People just go there and do some stuff, and lay people will go and watch.
Right.
Other magicians are like,
yeah, we'll be upstairs.
I'm not going to the basement. The people down in the basement are the people who can't get into the room.
Yeah.
You know? So so that's why I wouldn't go to like try to socialize with these people.
And you're going for heartfelt reasons.
I want to be entertained.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see some really good quality magic and be entertained. And I am there to be fooled.
And I would imagine that, I love the way you say that. That's exactly why I love magic. I would imagine that probably some of the best magic in the world is performed at the Magic Castle, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Because of the level of entertainer there.
Yeah, there's a guy that we saw last week who does this thing with wands where they just start appearing and out of everywhere. And it's fast. It's like boom, 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 boom. And you're sitting there going, whoa, slow down. You know?
That's great.
And you're just sitting there watching going, I know how you're doing it, but how are you doing it? You know?
Yeah.
And that's what I go for. And now I won't be able to socialize with any of them anyways because I basically dished them all.
Well, thankfully, they probably don't listen to this show.
Probably not.
So, yeah. But anyway, if you are listening, Jim deserves to be there.
Okay.
I'm what they call a tastemaker. I can say those things. I was actually called that in an email today.
Tastemaker?
Fellow tastemakers, here's some new music by so-and-so. So, apparently, I'm a tastemaker.
Okay.
Yeah, this the guy who has Burger King.
You don't mind sampling the Kool-Aid?
I'll take it. You know, I'm like you. I just want the attention.
Yeah. I understand that.
We do have to go now. We are out of time. So we're going to close out once again with Punk Rock Elvis doing the Christmas song because Christmas is coming.
Yeah, and why should we not be like everybody else and start playing Christmas music 3 months before it's
exactly
due.
And we're playing punk rock Christmas music, which nobody else does.
There you go.
So there you go. This is Punk Rock Elvis with I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. We'll be back next Thursday. Julie back with us
Hopefully
next Thursday?
Hopefully she'll be
I
back.
Hope she's, yeah, Julie, I hope you're feeling better.
Got to pump her up with some medication.
I think what she needs is some Fireball on tomorrow's Friday Shot Day show.
There you go.
That'll take care of it. We'll see you next week, folks.
This has been a Rough Edge Studios production.